I see a lot of schedules floating around Facebook and social media. Some kids thrive on that. Some kids don't. It's mostly just facilitating learning, I would say, instead of actual homeschooling. I don't know that we'll get a time like this again. I would hate to have you waste it in front of the TV all the time, or yelling at each other, or spending too much time being stressed.
Are you a parent or even a grandparent suddenly finding yourself with kids at home during the day needing schooling? Well, this episode is for you. We're going to talk with Andy Zimmerman, a school librarian and teacher in Portland, Oregon, who has got some real wisdom for how to deal with kids at home trying to manage some education without driving either you or your children crazy. The Converging Paths podcast is sponsored by Darkwood Brew, which is opening up its entire library of 28 high-quality video series to the world for free right now. Normally, there's a pretty good, healthy subscription cost to this, but they've decided to open it up as a resource for 60 days during this time of pandemic. Series like the one based on my book, Gifts of the Dark Wood, Seven Blessings for Soulful Skeptics and Other Wanderers. Another series called Hope, A Pessimist Guide, featuring people like Carrie Newcomer, Phyllis Tickle, and Scott Russell Sanders. And then there you might want to try Politically Incorrect, Amos and the Fine Art of Uncomfortable Truth, featuring Frank Schaefer. Whether you're an individual just wanting to explore the realm of progressive Christianity, or a congregational leader wanting to freely and widely distribute resources throughout your whole congregation so that you can start small groups remotely or have individuals study remotely, that entire library of 28 series is just a couple clicks away at darkwoodbrew.org, and it's free for the next 60 days. Get your free subscription now. Now, let's turn to my conversation with Andy Zimmerman. Andy, where does your expertise come from?
Well, I have a teaching background. I've been teaching since 1992, on and off. And when my kids were early, so kindergarten and first grade, we homeschooled while we traveled the country. And then in middle school, I decided with my children that we would skip the middle school experience and start homeschooling instead.
Okay.
And now I'm back teaching it.
You're teaching where?
I'm teaching at a middle school, a local middle school, and I teach literacy enrichment. I'm a librarian background, so I'm in the library, but I'm also teaching literacy enrichment to 6th, 7th, and 8th graders.
Okay, and there's quite a lot of income diversity in your school district, isn't there?
We have 4 Title I elementary schools feeding into us. And so where I live in Beaverton, Oregon, it's a suburb of Portland. It's very economically diverse, but not in the same schools. So there's one school that's high economic population. 4 miles away is where I teach. And then you've got the 4 Title I elementary schools feeding into each other.
Oh, okay. So you've got families in quarantine where there are like 8 kids in a room, right?
Yeah, I have some hard family situations that are going on right now. And so I'm not sure how the parents are getting income. A lot of them are in the service industry. A lot of them are single parents. A lot live with cousins and aunts and uncles in very small quarters.
Mm. Wow.
So I'm feeling for them right now.
So we have a lot of parents out there who are just discovering homeschooling for the first time because they're in quarantine and they're going crazy, and I'm hearing it. So I thought, hey, my friend Andy. so you've actually homeschooled children by choice before, and then you're actually schooling children professionally. And so, what advice do you have for parents out there who are doing this just for the first time?
Well, I want to start out by saying that homeschooling is really a choice. So we're joking around right now with this virus saying, oh no, we're automatically homeschoolers. But it's not something that you've prepared for and come up with a curriculum for and decided how you're going to pull out of the public school system and things like that. So we're joking around a little bit, but it's mostly just facilitating learning, I would say, instead of actual homeschooling. Does that make sense?
Tell me more about that. What do you mean?
Well, I think that parents right now are just trying to keep their heads above water, keep their kids busy, make sure their kids don't fall behind, and doing it piecemeal without having that forethought. And so I think that there are ways that parents right now are going crazy, think, oh no, I'm in charge of all this curriculum. I'm in charge of my kids' education now. And I think there's a lot of stress in addition to the stress of what we're going through as a world and not knowing what's happening.
Okay, so maybe they should maybe not try to carry the entire weight of like public school teachers on their shoulders, like having to be one.
Exactly. Okay. Take a deep breath, please. Take a deep breath. But there are so many resources out there. My own school district is giving ideas, and I'm not sure about the districts around the country. For instance, are your teachers giving online information where you're responsible for finding the grades or making sure that they get this turned in? Or are your teachers just giving you ideas so you don't go crazy? I see a lot of schedules floating around Facebook and social media. Here's the schedule that my family is going to be on. 8 to 8:30, make your beds, clean your room. 8:30 to 9, breakfast. 9 to 9:30, math. 9:30 to 10, PE. Some kids thrive on that. Some kids don't. And remember that you're at home, not at school. I don't know if your kids want you to make homeschool.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
The best advice I got when I started homeschooling was to drop the schedule. And I had two kids. One kid works well on a schedule. She thrives on schedules. The other one does not at all. And so she was pushing back a ton when I tried to instill a schedule with learning. And so I had to come up with something that worked for both of them. I dropped the schedule. And for a week or two while we were homeschooling, we did nothing. I didn't have the screens on, but I let them be bored and I let them find their own creative outlets. And I didn't facilitate a lot. I let them find what they wanted to do. My older one was bored. Give me something, give me something, give me something. And the younger one, she was like, fine, just give me my Legos. See you tomorrow.
That's fascinating, actually facilitating boredom as a way of kind of then it would kind of draw a child in. I was just talking to our high school group on Sunday night, and some were already like, I'm so bored. I've never missed my teachers so much in my life.
And that's what's happening, I think, with my own middle schoolers, too. As a parent, I think it's really important to let them be bored and to see what they can come up with. I don't think it's feasible to let them go like that so long. And I don't know how long we're going to be in these situations. But what I might do instead of making a schedule, if that doesn't work for you, is make like a bingo card or a grid of different activities that you come up with your children. Ask them what it is they want to learn. Different things are on now or on their minds. They can find things through YouTube, through Khan Academy. There are tons of documentaries on Netflix, Hulu. If you have Disney Plus, amazing educational opportunities.
Interesting. My high school students were all like, they're watching, they're just jamming Disney Plus right now, going back to old favorites from their childhood and stuff.
Have you looked at it?
I have it, but I haven't looked at it recently, no.
It will bring back your childhood.
Oh my gosh, really?
So it's kind of fun to look at some of those old Disney movies that you liked as a child. Not just the animated films, but do you remember all the Kurt Russell films or Cat from Outer Space or some of these wild, Herbie Goes Bananas?
Oh, that one I remember. See, I'm older than you, so some of these things are after
not
my time.
Not that much. But there's a lot of things you can reminisce with. But Disney Plus is so much more than just entertainment. There's a lot of education on there, too.
Huh. Well, that's good to know. I love that bingo game idea, too. That's kind of cool.
That works well, and it worked well with my younger daughter. We would come up with a grid, and each week she would have to make a bingo line, or we made it where you had to fill the whole card. But she could do it at her time period, her time schedule. It wasn't my time schedule. If we both had a schedule where 9 to 9:45 had to be math, we would kill each other. So if I give her, you have to play this math game, you have to cook this batch of cookies, right? Because that's science and math right there. A bunch of different ideas that you come up with, put them in a grid, and then give the grid to your kid and say, okay, by 5 o'clock today, you have to have five of these done. Something like
that. Wow. Now, so if I were your kid, I would be like, the math thing squared would be on there, and I would like never be choosing that one. I would be avoiding
But remember that. That math is not just worksheets.
Yeah.
And I am not a math person. I'm a librarian. I don't do numbers. The Khan Academy is amazing for grades little through high school, college. So if you haven't looked at the Khan Academy.
What's that?
Khan Academy, K-A-H-N is how you spell Khan. And so you look up Khan Academy. They have been known for years for educational YouTube videos. They're all free. And so when my daughter had a problem in geometry that I couldn't help her with, she logged on to Khan Academy, and there would be an instructor going step by step on how to solve whatever problem she needed to solve.
Wow.
So Khan Academy is great. And Eric, you know that I'm a big Disney fanatic and love everything about Disney. Disney Imagineers have come into partnership with Khan Academy, and right now they're running Imagineering in a Box. So talk about a way to get your math and your science and your creativity out there. Disney has offered 2-hour sessions through Khan Academy on simply allowing kids to open their minds and create.
Wow. That's awesome. Good to know. So how do you find, like, are there emotional needs that kind of come out during this pandemic, or that has it sunk into our kids?
Yes, you will all freak out.
Okay. And how do you deal with the freak out?
You let it happen. I was okay with all of this until this morning, when I found out my in-laws in Michigan didn't have toilet paper.
Mm.
All of a sudden, this whole thing hit me. So while I was calm for the last week and a half, this morning I was a mad woman. And I'm an adult. So these kids don't know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
I would read. This sounds funny. But in these emotional freakout times, after you let them freak out and calm down, I would get together and read together as a family.
Okay.
Or one-on-one. There's an intimacy in reading out loud. It doesn't have to be cuddling if your child's not a cuddler. But I would find a book that you like and just read out loud. And just the soothing meditativeness of your voice. It's hard, especially when everybody wants to be away and you can't. But reading, and I'm biased because I'm a librarian, but reading is what I think brings people together.
Yeah, that makes sense. That just calming voice, hearing the parents' calm voice like that, and also just hearing your own calm voice reading, I imagine that.
And getting into a story.
Mm-hmm.
I have to take everything away. So reading is my main advice. If you don't do anything else this whole time but read, you'll be okay.
So here would be a good place to insert a plug for Gifts of the Dark Wood, a great read.
That's right. Your third grader will love it.
Exactly. Oh my God.
I definitely agree. But remember, there's so many book resources online. So if you didn't get a chance to go to the library or anything, your local library, if you have a library card, usually you should be able to get one online. You can get online books and online resources through your local library.
Mm.
And often your school libraries. Our school district has an online library.
Good to know. So are there, I recognize I'm not speaking to someone who is like a fundamentalist Christian homeschooler who's like wanting to indoctrinate their children into the absolute true faith that will save them from hellfire for eternity, but a person of...
Oh, you know me so well.
But
I will tell you that...
Yeah.
Bible and biblical stories were part of our homeschool program.
Yeah.
when I did it with them as a middle schooler. And you're right, I'm not as fundamental, but we did do a devotion type, or I had some books, Christian books, that we read through. Scripture was important to me when they were in middle school. Processing scripture, maybe thinking about the time period of where that scripture took place, looking more into the history of when that scripture was written. Mm-hmm. So for me, not just looking at the words of the Bible and taking it for what it was, but diving deeper into that. That was important to me when they were in middle school.
Yeah. So I you know, obviously I don't come from a perspective of needing to indoctrinate children into some sort of fundamentalistic sphere, and also I've been very against, you know, teaching, you know, religion in school. I don't want my teachers doing that. But, you know, when it comes down to homeschooling, if you're put in a position to do it as a parent, it's like, oh, well, why not introduce faith into the curriculum? Because it's not somebody you don't know who's doing that, and it's you. And, you know, just reading some Bible stories, even that kind of thing. It seems like in Christianity, we've outsourced Christian education to Sunday school. And it's like, that used to be, that for like all time, that was the parents' primary responsibility. I mean, when it came to raising the children in the faith, it was our responsibility. But we've outsourced it to the church. And maybe it's a time we can take that back over a little bit by just simply reading some stories and letting our kids think about it.
One of the things I find fascinating about where I teach is we have a large Muslim population, and they're dedicated. And I see more dedicated Muslims than maybe Christians mm-hmm. right now in where I teach. And I know that their families right now are keeping up their traditions mm-hmm. as much as they can.
Yeah. I mean, I love being Christian, and that's my number one choice among the faiths. However, I love these other faiths very, very much, including Islam. And I've said for years, if you're going to be a lazy Christian, it's actually better to be a Muslim. Because the Muslims don't put up with that crap.
It's so true. It's so true. But now is the time, though, to explore the Bible and see where some of these passages have come from. Mm-hmm. Eric, I haven't been talking to adults, so you can tell my speech is...
You're doing just...
I've been quiet a lot. I get my talking back in order.
You're doing great. Yeah. You know, this time of quarantine is reminding me of there's a Blaise Pascal quote that I just put up on Facebook this morning.
I saw it.
Yeah. All of humanity's problems stem from man's inability to sit quietly in a room alone. And you've been have an opportunity to sit quietly. And
please let your children be bored. That's going to be the hardest thing, I think, for a lot of my friends, is letting their kids be bored. Our kids aren't used to being bored. They've always got screens or a phone, or if they start whining, we turn on the TV. I would let them be bored. And it hurts as a parent because they're yelling and crying and whining, but they'll get over it.
I wonder if that hurts us because it's hard for us as parents to get bored. We've lost the ability to get bored.
We have lost it. But I wonder, I don't remember whining and complaining to my parents about being bored as much as kids do now. But we always went out and played.
Right.
We were out in the street all the time. I didn't need my parents out there. Came home when the street lights were on. No cell phones. Got on my bike, went wherever.
Exactly.
And kids don't do that now.
Yeah. That's right. It's hard to be bored when you're out playing in the woods and exploring the world. Yeah.
I was a reader too, big surprise. So if you didn't bother me and I had my books, that was all good.
Yeah, right. Well, any other advice you can you'd offer a parent out there who's kind of hanging on the
edge? I don't know that we'll get a time like this again.
Mm.
I would hate to have you waste it in front of the TV all the time or yelling at each other or spending too much time being stressed. We're all stressed because of what's going on. But I think if you can use some of this time to do something as a family, cooking, cleaning, reading, doing some of the Lego building with your kids, makerspace ideas, this is a librarian term. Get all of your junk, recycling, and have your kids make something. Give them a topic. There's somebody who broke their leg and they need to carry their items with them. They can't use a purse. Build something. Does that make sense? Come up with some kind of crazy scenario and have them build something with egg cartons and yogurt containers.
I might try that myself this afternoon. That's cool.
It's going to be hard for all of us. That's the thing. And if the schedule doesn't work for you, toss it.
Yeah. That's such a good point, though, not to waste this opportunity that's presented itself. It may not come around again for a while. Only 3 global pandemics in all of human history. So, you know,
it's a dark time, but if we can find the silver linings in there, and I think that's what God would want.
Yeah. And I don't want to be, you know, like totally make lemonade out of lemons here or ignore all the really, really serious pain and struggle that's going on right now. But I think if I back off to the 30,000 foot level, and so I'm not feeling the human pain right now, but just looking at like what's its usefulness, I actually am quite optimistic in terms of for our children, because maybe this pandemic is actually kind of shaking us down and getting us more. We've been so out of touch with reality, and as a society, and maybe it's bringing us back to things that are more real, more life bearing, simpler, quieter, more spiritually deep.
I can only pray that that's the truth. I've had a hard time with public school education for a long time, only because it was developed post-World War II, and it hasn't changed since. Some people will put their kids in Montessori schools or things like that, but the majority of public education is in a desk with a teacher lecturing and maybe a little bit of explore time. But kids learn by exploring, and kids learn by doing. And I would love it if this shook the public education system to show what's important.
Wow.
We're not going to be doing state testing this year. All the state tests have been canceled. So what if we teach like we're meant to teach?
Why am I hearing that song, Hey, Hello, the Witch is Dead, the Witch is Dead?
I don't know. I hope something changes. I hope this isn't all for naught.
Yeah. Well, this thing, somebody I was just talking to recently said, maybe this will be kind of like we'll get through this and we'll realize we've been like slaves as having escaped from Egypt. And like, let's not go back there anymore.
I'm crossing my fingers.
Yeah. Well, you know, I would like to put on, just as long as I've got a microphone too, I'd like to put in a good plug to parents for sanitation, and that in terms of, you know, in the great, great Black Death back in the 14th century, the Jewish community actually survived far greater numbers than the average person did, non-Jewish community person did, and so well that people became convinced it was a Jewish plot to kill Christians or what have you. And so there were literally pogroms against Jews back in the Black Death. But it was their sacred practices that involve sanitation, ritual washing that got them through that. And I've thought about that a lot, actually, in this crisis. Islam, you know, they have their 5-time-a-day prayer. They call it the Salat prayer. I picked up an app on my phone called Muslim Assistant, and it's ringing me every time the Muslims pray right now. And when they pray, I don't do the prostration prayer like they do. I get up wherever I am, you know, I'm in bed or I'm in a meeting, whatever, I'm, you know, like doing this, I get up and I go to the sink and I take a good minute or two just to wash my hands, just to feel the water, and to recognize the holiness of the water coming over my hands, and then to scrub them. And I've got 2 hands, so I can, like, I'm going to pray for my health with one hand and it's the health of somebody else in another hand. And I'm going to do that and just enjoy the experience and take some time, and then clean myself off with a nice clean towel and go back to it. And, you know, if we were to do a ritual washing of hands 5 times a day, I think we got all kids around and so forth. That'd be a neat practice. And it would also make us more aware of our, at least as a Christian, makes me more aware of my Muslim sisters and brothers out there who are all praying.
I love that. And what you just said about Muslim sisters and brothers, I am learning so much from my students right now. There are kids who will drive me insane within 15 minutes, but watching them take such dedication to their washing and their prayers, it reminds me of the humanness of this middle schooler, but also how important faith is.
Absolutely. And hopefully that's what's also shaking down a realistic faith, not these kind of televangelistic forms of faith, but real faith.
That's so painful to watch.
We're spending so much time worried about what's invisibly present around us that could kill us. How about spending time remembering that there's also invisibly present a love and sacredness, also a power that could be even described as friendship that is available when we get quiet in our room in the middle of quarantine and we're bored or we're at wit's end with our kids. And you know, that's one of the other things I like about Islam is their sense of surrender. You know, that sense of surrendering to this higher power. It seems like when we do that, not in an overlord kind of way. You know, like there's this God with anger management issues that would just love to hit the cosmic smite button on us. But actually surrender to a power that is invisibly present that loves us beyond our wildest imagination and actively desires our well-being. When we get quiet, we can find that God. And to me, that's been a great thing for myself during this quarantine period, even though I meditate every day, is just even taking more opportunities to discover that God that's right in front of my face, whether it just be through the hand washing, you know, or enjoying a good meal and realizing that if God is, if all of material world is really God's love incarnate, you know, I know what God's love tastes like, you know, so I'm going to take time to enjoy that meal. This is what God's love tastes like. I'm going to wash my hands. This is what God's love feels like, you know, and actually accept it as a direct, not just some sort of internal mental exercise, but this is a very direct, concrete way of experiencing love.
And we have time to do that now. I'm thinking about the kids that I serve and my own kids, and we're not running off to sports or theater or anything else after school. We're all home together. So there's time to do that.
Well, Andy, I'm so glad you took the time out of your schedule, your homeschooling schedule, or whatever, to talk with me. It's been too long. I really enjoyed being.
We need tater tots.
We need tater. That's I was just missing. Thinking about that this morning. I met up in Portland with Aunt Andy. I was on her podcast, and then we met up in Portland. Had tater tots at one of those
McMenamin's
brew pubs.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, I miss the tater tots right now.
Me too. I was just thinking about this morning. I'm going to have to.
All right, Eric, when this is over and you're in Oregon.
Yeah. Tots. Absolutely. Well, I might just try to see if I can order some for the Whole Foods home delivery.
Not the same.
Not the same. Yeah, that's true. I can pretend. All right. Well, thanks again so much, Andy.
Well, thank you.
Let's let Nomalee Brennett play us out with Dark Wood. See you again soon.
In the middle of the forest, under the shadows of the trees, I had wandered through the darkness until the way was lost to me. But it was there I heard a calling, and it was there I found belief, and it was then that I found courage in the hour of my need. And I walked to guide me. if the dark should overwhelm me, I know the light would soon appear. Through the mystery of questions and the wilderness of days, I have wandered into blessing and then stumbled upon